I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Today's message, the title of it is In the Darkness of Suspicion, There is the Light of Devotion. Some of us were fortunate to be with each other on Christmas Eve right here, and we worshiped together. It was a very special spiritual evening. And one of the highlights of the evening was that we had a Christmas pageant, and a number of our children participated in the nativity scene. My son also was called at the last minute to be one of the kings, one of the magis. And my eyes gazed on him on that stage with the rest of the children. And then, as I think the Holy Spirit tends to work sometimes, I understood something that I had not for the first time. That yes, the kings were here to come and worship the King of all kings, Jesus. But they were also here for Mary and for Joseph. You see, Mary and Joseph, they had traveled, scholars say, between 70 and 100 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The road was rather treacherous. It took between 3 and 4 days. And this was sort of difficult for a woman who's expecting in her 9th month. And when they couldn't find a bed to lay their newborn's head until the very last hours, they must have been thinking, oh God, did we get this all wrong? Maybe all these dreams, these visions we had, my visit with Elizabeth, maybe she was just overanxious about her own child. Did we make this all up in our heads? Is there something not right here, because we're struggling? Did we make the wrong decision to come? But then they saw 3 human kings in their flesh, bringing to them gifts worthy of a king, the best gifts you can buy with money. And they must have thought, this is for real. God does love us. And this child, he's very special. And I think scripture, time over time, lets us know that, yes, we tend to sometimes have a suspicious mind. It's part of our human nature to be somewhat cautious. It's part of our instinct to have some suspicion. But scripture calls us to have attention to this, that it can be turned to something not that good, and that we should be aware that our suspicions can lead to something that may not benefit us in our relationship with the Lord. I'll give you another example. Paul, when he was walking down the road of Damascus and this brilliant light shined over him and said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Paul responded and said, Lord, who are you? And he said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus who you are persecuting. Now, if you recall, Paul was the person who was sending Christians off to prison. So he was quite suspicious that this was the voice of the Lord. But the Lord said to him, I will send you someone, and that person will confirm that of the vision that you're having. So 3 days, Paul settled in a person's house. His name was Judas. And for 3 days, he fasted. 3 days, he prayed. And at the same time, a man, a disciple of Jesus, was having a vision. His name was Ananias. And he said, Ananias, I need you to go to Paul, lay hands on him, because he's blind. He's been in the dark for 3 days. And I want you to confirm what I've done for him, and that he's going to be one of my disciples. And Ananias knew Paul. You know, the rumor was out. He was out to get Christians, to kill them, to destroy them. He didn't think this was a great idea. There was suspicion in his mind. But he trusted, and he went, and he laid hands on Paul. And Paul was convinced he had seen and heard from God. So there we have it. We have some examples of the Lord interceding with humans, messengers, the kings, Ananias, that we too can be called to instruct and help others on what God's will is for us. You know, when Mary and Joseph When Jesus was about 12 years old, there was 3 days, something about these 3 days of darkness, periods of darkness, where they lost Jesus. He was 12 years old. There was a festival in Jerusalem, and Jesus was in the temple. And again, suspicious minds. What could have happened to our son? You know, what about God's plan? All these years we've raised him. Remember Bethlehem, Nazareth. Something must have gone wrong. But they found Jesus in the temple, and Jesus sort of scolded his parents and said, "Well, don't you know I'm about my father's business?" And maybe if they had paid attention a little bit and understanding what Jesus' purpose was, they may have had less suspicion. But God calls us to recognize that we need to commune with God to know what his plans are for us. I want to quickly tell you a story, what happened to me about 3 weeks ago. You may have remembered that snowstorm. It just lasted a couple of hours, but it started in the morning and schools were closed. So I had a conference call that morning. I had to be at work early, so I left home at 8 o'clock. There was no snow yet, but halfway, it's an hour commute to Princeton. Halfway there, the snow started coming down real heavy. And I knew when I got to work, my boss was going to say, "Turn around, the office is closed." But the office was indeed open that day. So when I got there, the office was still open. My boss wasn't there to be found. There was no other managers but myself. And quickly the staff came to me. I said, "What are we going to do? It looks really bad out there." I said, "I know, I just pulled in and there's already an inch of snow covering the parking lot." So I called one of the managers. I couldn't get in touch with my boss, who's normally there a half hour by 7:30. So he's already about 45 minutes late. I was thinking maybe something had happened to him. But I called one of the managers and they confirmed. I said, "I think we should send our people home." Within 5 minutes, I sent whoever was there home from our department. Other people were coming in at that time, but I had no jurisdiction over those departments. But then our boss came in and he said, "I know it's bad, but I'm relying on the news and this should really just temper off within 3 hours." And you know what? It did. It was probably better to stay where you were and not move than to get on the road at that time. For me, it was a wake-up call that sometimes our suspicious minds, I mean, my boss had made the decision, the office is open, he relied on the news, and for me, it was an understanding in my role in relationship to authority is that sometimes we tend to think we know better, and perhaps maybe better than God, and there's danger there when we have that type of suspicious mind. So now we turn to our gospel today. And, you know, God does understand about suspicious minds and that it's part of our human nature, but where does it go really wrong? And we could see with King Herod, it went really wrong. They saw these three kings dressed in royal garb. They knew of this king to be born, and he got terrified. "Is this the person who's going to dethrone me?" So he had no desire really to come and worship this newborn. In fact, when the kings did not come back, he decided to send an edict to destroy and kill children that were 2 years and younger. This is where suspicious minds go really wrong. You can say the same of perhaps Hitler and his relationship or understanding of the Jews, a suspicious mind. But we don't even have to go that evil. How many families today, marriages that we hear on the news, ending in divorce, but also ending in violence, where husbands or wives are taking children in their own hands in violent acts because they're suspicious that their partner will not do justice by them. My friends, Satan, in the Garden of Eden, turned the mind of Adam and Eve against God by presenting a suspicious scenario. God wants to keep you from understanding the truth And because of that suspicious mind in that garden, they started to doubt in God. So this is the relationship between suspicious minds and our understanding that we need to worship our God and to trust Him better. Suspicion of others replaces the kindness and love we can show toward others. And love for one another is connected to God's greatest commandment. Now, don't be fooled. Most evils do commence as a result of suspicious minds. Let's talk about Paul. Let's talk about solutions. How do we keep our suspicious minds at bay here? Well, Paul, he had every reason to be suspicious. He was going to prison. He was suffering. After he had received conversion, he had experienced the heavenly realm. He went to the third highest heaven, but there was also a thorn in his side, so he was struggling with something. And then he calls. He had everything about his life that wouldn't have him be suspicious from all angles. But this is the scripture that he quotes from Romans 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, suspicion creates doubt. But when you love the Lord and when you have found the Lord, there is nothing that can come between you and the Lord. Even today, the weather is somewhat, with the heavy rain, we almost got into a little accident from a car that cut us off. But God does not, I believe God does not thwart our plans that we have in place. And we should not have fear, as Pastor Courtney spoke about in the last sermon, and anxiety, but suspicion is also part of that. And when it overcomes us is when we fail to recognize our love for God and our love for one another. So in our new year, what can we do? How do we keep suspicions at bay? Well, first, we need to keep Christ as the object of our devotion. How do you allow Jesus to rule over your life? Some practical ways. The first way is the Bible. The truth is found in the Bible. Our Bible acts as the sunrise and the sunset. It is intended to calm us in the most difficult circumstances. This is your medicine. And when you read the scripture, The scripture is the truth, and the seekers of the truth and the lovers of the truth will find it in the Bible. So whenever you're feeling lost or suspicious, turning to the Bible will relax you, will calm you, and will give you the truth of what perhaps Satan may be trying to create some kind of confusion in your mind that doesn't really exist. The reality does not exist. Secondly, if we replace suspicion with prayer, and prayer is a form of worship, connecting and building a personal relationship with God allows us to understand what God wants from us and to also understand that He has no plans to harm us. And through prayer, we are reaffirmed of our relationship with Christ. Thirdly, connecting with our Christian brothers and sisters. Talking it out, what we may be suspicious of. Talking it out with a brother and sister does indeed help us. As one of my sister-in-laws says to me, expose fear for what it is. And the acronym for fear she always uses says, false evidence appearing real. So fear is false evidence appearing real. I think she may have heard it from Joyce Meyer, but it does remind me that sometimes our suspicious minds take over. And lastly, my friends, I think we need to trust more in the supernatural, in the power of the Holy Spirit, as shown to us through the Blessed Trinity. Trust in God's amazing wonders. Scripture tells us that God does use people as messengers. And by the way, angels translated means messengers. We too, as humans, are used by God to comfort one another. If you have a suspicious mind, you may miss the guidance and reassurance God has already sent your way. My friends, the Lord is preparing for us to live with Him in a heavenly kingdom for eternity. And there is no room for suspicion there, only to be filled with God's loving embrace. Don't you want to have a piece of God's kingdom here and now to feel that on earth? Do you want a taste of God's heavenly kingdom? Place suspicion at its rightful place. Trust and worship God above all else. And believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the darkness of suspicion, you must be the light that continues to pay homage to our King. Let us pray, if we would mind bowing our heads for prayer. We thank you, Holy God, for teaching us through your holy word that you are in control of our lives. We pray that you continue to guide us and reassure us that you have our best interests at heart. Help us in the new year to trust in you more and to understand that you delight in sending us your messengers and reassuring us through your Holy Spirit. Let us keep our minds and our hearts open to hearing from you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, as is our usual practice, if we would gather around the room, this might be a tight circle for the benediction.
I don't want to close the campus.